WCAP chatting with the ruler of Warren Nation, Mr. Warren Shaw. Did you tune in Monday when town manager Duggan and the police, fire chief, and school superintendent did their best sales pitch for the overrides in Dracut?
I listened to some of it. I mean, you know, my morning is all over the place, so when I can, I listened. I listened to some of the fire chiefs and some of the superintendent of schools. We had the superintendent of schools in last Saturday. This is an interesting one because this particular override is not pricey. I mean, this is not the one they did like 3 years ago was $2.9 million and was rejected, you know, significantly. This one is essentially $1 million added to the revenue base every year. It stays there, and it's going to go up by 2.5% every year. To me, it's a reasonable approach as opposed to, you know, trying to grab $3 or $4 million at one time. So they have to do their job to explain what's going on. I mean, the fire and police definitely have problems, as the school has for a couple of years. I heard what they had to say. I can't tell you that I could disagree with much they say. I've been living this stuff for many years out here with budgets, and you know, I think I told you I did budgets before we even had a town manager. Mm-hmm. Problem is age old, and if it isn't fixed, there'll be, you know, a new generation of people complaining about the quality of their services every year. It's just it's a tough situation. It's 91% residences, and most of them pay under $4,000 a year in taxes.
Wow.
The part that I found most troubling and most damaging to their argument was, and again, you and I have talked about this and we've been in agreement,
right.
Government needs to significantly change the way it does
Agreed.
Business.
Yep.
Senator Panagiotakis, on his way out the door in 2010,
right.
famously said it, private sector can't afford the public sector. So I was just trying to come up with some suggestions that, you know, the fire, police, and schools could offer to maybe tell the taxpayers, see, we're making our sacrifice. And one of the things I said was to the fire chief was, is it necessary to have you guys responding to every single call, even if it's, you know, for like a heart attack in a home or for whatever an ambulance can respond to? And his response was, well, that's the way it's always been done. And I found that answer to me to be, just in a nutshell, captured what the problem that government has today. That's how it's always been done, so we're just going to keep doing it that way, whether we can afford it or not.
Well, we'll take that one on because I can see their point in there. So fire departments are no longer fire departments, I mean, for the most part.
Exactly.
They are a combination fire department and rescue.
Yep.
And as such, in my view, brings them up to maybe the most important service in the community, because when you're sitting there in your house and some member of your family drops to the floor and can't breathe, those are the guys you want seeing come through the door. So I've never been. We have a minimal fire department, like we have a minimal police. So I've said this to you before. I really do believe that the employees of the town have already made their sacrifice and have been making it on an ongoing basis. And I know that sounds corny, but if you look at their compare them with the Lowell salaries. I mean, it can't be just Dracut that, you know, changes the mix, because the people that come to work for the town of Dracut, whether it's a police officer or, in fact, a superintendent of schools, they can go to Lowell and make more money. They can go to Chumson and make more money. They can go to Tewksbury and make more money. So lowering the salaries for the people that work for the town of Dracut doesn't help. I mean, I think you can solidly make the comment, the argument that the employees, the people who work for the town that provide the services, have done their share. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There is a question mark around the area, around the matter of the raise for the superintendent of schools and some of his staff people. To their point, the school committee will tell you we had to do it because, or we felt we had to do it because the superintendent is not, you know, is not being compensated as he should be in the marketplace. So they were concerned about losing him. I mean, the other argument, of course, is maybe you should have waited a couple of years. But it's an ongoing battle out here with salaries. You lose them all the time. Talk to the police, and they'll tell you. We invest in a cop, mm-hmm. send them through the academy, and they transfer somewhere else.
But you know, that's an interesting point that Leslie made, because don't send them through the academy. Get them out of the academy, like the self-funders and whatnot. And look, Drake, it's always, it's kind of like, you know, you in the broadcast industry, you start in a small market and try to work your way up to Boston and the network level. Drake, it, whether they like to hear it or not, is the small market. And they should expect to lose people to Lowell, which can pay more, to Boston, which can pay more, et cetera. But you know, to think that they're going to be able to offer enough money to keep people from leaving with Drake's tax structure, it's just not going to work. And I kind of still see that mentality in place in my old town.
Well, I mean, I bring you back to the same. I mean, if you want to talk about the revenue argument, why should Drake's police officers be putting themselves at risk because they don't have adequate backup? Mm-hmm. Should we not have a police department because of our revenue base? Because of the Merrimack River? Because, you know, whoever decided to build the University of Lowell North campus on the banks of the Merrimack River and make it even more difficult for people to get in and out of our town? I mean, are we supposed to not have adequate services forever because of those things? I think, you know, that's kind of...
No,
that's kind of short-sighted.
No, but somewhere along the way, people in government made the decision to start approving projects which doubled the town's population and brought in school children and the need for services instead of businesses, which require less services. I mean, that was a conscious decision, Warren.
Which one are we talking about now? Are we talking about the 40Bs that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts jams down our throats? I was involved in that whole thing from the beginning of the overlay zoning that created it to the special permit that allowed it. And part of what drove that wasn't so people could go out and hit a little white ball around. It was because we knew that there would be higher valued houses there. So you have to have these amenities to generate some income, just like you do in a business. It's really not that much different. So
you succeeded there.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Given the tax rate, though, putting those higher value houses it's still a loss, because most of the people living in those higher value houses still have kids, and you can't tax people enough to pay for an education today.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, that's another issue, Chapter 70, whether that's adequate. But, you know, those houses on the golf course are paying, I would say that probably the average is $8,000 a household.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they have one kid, they've covered half of they've covered their cost, because essentially the Commonwealth pays for half the cost of education. So at least you're getting close. If you take a look at the rest of the town, and even some of the people, I kind of get a kick out of them, some of the people that are pointing the finger at the town for not doing a good job with services are paying under $4,000 a year in taxes and have a couple of kids in the school system. There's a large part of the revenue base that's that way, and all of those people moved to the town of Drake because it was affordable. So that's why they're here. So you can't, you know, you have to be careful what you do in that situation, mm-hmm. because families' entire sort of economic package for their family is based around the fact that this is an affordable place to live and the taxes aren't going to go crazy.
Interesting point, yeah.
Warren,
yeah.
We need the town manager needs to stop bringing around the chiefs and the superintendent, and he needs to bring you around on his tour.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, I think I have, and they're all good people. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I did text the town manager during your conversation with him too. I mean, I think I probably have more experience than all of them in terms of the town of Drake, its issues, because I've lived it for so long. I understand. There's no way I could say to anybody, don't vote for this tax increase, because they need it. If you want to have good services, you need it. And the other thing you could do, and nobody likes this idea, is send out an invoice for your rubbish service. Lowell does it, $150 a household in Lowell.
Yep.
If you did that in Drake, $150 a household, you would not need this override. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. You can come at it from the expenditure side or the revenue side. But it's at the end of the day, Drake has to be able to provide adequate public safety services, public works, has to be able to provide a decent quality education. We don't have to be Wellesley, but we have to do a good job. Otherwise, we start losing kids to other school districts. So,
well, it's also true, too, Warren, that you buy the beautiful houses over by the golf course, which are extraordinary. And then the police department, Captain Richardson's concern was that they can't meet all the needs and respond to all the calls. So if I buy a big house like that next to that gorgeous golf course and the Grazzi and all of everything that's there, and I need help during the day, I might not get it.
Right.
That was sobering.
You're going to get it. It just might not might be exactly delayed when you need it.
That's right. That's right.
And the biggest thing that's been presented to me by members of the police department that I have great respect for, these aren't the people that are complainers. People have said to me, hey, the problem is backup.
We
go out on a call, and you've been there, Leslie.
I've not,
but you know there are some situations you just do not walk into alone. And that's where these guys are, you know, are vulnerable. So
you bet.
You know, last discussion, because we do have to run, Warren, but we had that discussion about the fact that at an awful lot of times in Draycott, there are three cruisers, one in each sector of the city, and that's it. And there's usually one or two people back at the station. I'm just help me here as a private citizen, because unfortunately the chief and the town manager I don't know.
You left us. You're not a citizen.
Well, I don't know if I'm dumb or maybe they didn't explain it in a way that I could. But there's 37 officers on the force.
Mm-hmm.
There are three shifts. That should be theoretically 12 available per shift. Why?
Well, that's three shifts a day.
Right. Yeah, but now officers get 2 days off, so...
On a 4-2 rotation, not an admin.
Whatever the case may be, but why are there only 5 officers on duty out of 12 available per shift?
Well, he's got a detective during the day. They're detectives as well.
Detective and somebody at the station.
In terms of deployment, you'd have to ask the police chief. I don't know, but I know that...
Well, that was kind of my question, is like, you know, if you want your officers to have backup... Don't you have to explore all possibilities to make sure, like, you know, and the answer was given, well, there were union contracts that have been signed through the years, and again, to my point, well, what worked in 1977 does not work in 2016.
I can tell you this, but we can talk in circles about what kind of management there is there. I can tell you, the taxpayers of Draycott invested in an independent assessment of the Draycott Police Department that turned out to be very controversial. But one of the things that everyone, I talked to the deputy chief this morning outside the gym about this, the one thing that is universally agreed upon is we need 7 more police officers.
Yes, you do.
And that kind of is why they're going forward with an override for public safety. They need more firefighters as well. And there is no doubt. I mean, if you look at the I don't know if Steve Stone got a chance to present how he wants to spend his piece of the override, but he's going to spend it on technology, which gives him like a $200,000 rebate, which he'll spend on essentially counselors to help with the kind of the drug issue that's everywhere. And if you look at getting $700,000 worth of value out of 500. That's pretty good work. So I'm excited about it. I hope the people embrace it. I don't want to pay higher taxes anymore than anybody else does. But
when the chief of police says that when he came on in the early 80s, there were 38 guys, and he tells us last week he's the chief now and he's got 38 guys.
Right.
That's and your town is growing. It's, it was shocking to me to hear that.
Well, there's a lot of things about if you look, you know, with a microphone, with a magnifying glass at the operational cost of the town of Draycott, they can be shocking, no doubt.
Warren, always a pleasure to chat with you on Thursday mornings. The entire valley can chat with you for 4 full hours every Saturday, 6 to 10 a.m.
I'm always happy to join you and your chicklet.
Thank you. Thank you, Warren. Bye.
You want to rent the McDonald's? Rented out my side chick. You want her too now?
I'll see you.
Thanks. That's Warren Shaw, the ruler of Warren Nation. Tune in Saturday, 6 to 10. Hear more. A lot of good in-depth stuff about Draycott.